One day God was looking down from heaven and he saw all of the evil that was taking place in the world. And so he decided to send one of his angels down to earth to check it out. And the angel went back to heaven and said this to God. He said, "Yes, Lord, it's really bad down there on earth. 95% of the people are evil. Only 5% are good." And God thought about that for a moment, and he thought, maybe I better send a second angel down to have that angel check it out. So a second angel came down, and he checked it out, went back to heaven, and he gave this report. He said, "Oh Lord, 95% of the people on earth are evil. Only 5% are good." So God decided to send an email to the 5%. You know what it said? "Oh, you didn't get one either?" Moan. That story is so theologically thawed, it's absolutely ridiculous at a number of different levels, because the Bible tells us clearly that there is not one who is righteous, not even one. That's Romans chapter 3. The reality is that each and every single one of us was born into sin, and we are surrounded by people who are sinners. Even those innocent-looking little grandbabies and great-grandbabies that some of us like to hold are sinners. Furthermore, God's not happy with us. Now, this is not a joke. There were some pollsters in America who wanted to find out who people thought were the worst sinners among us. And so they did a poll, and the answer, one of the big answers, was murderers. Murderers are the worst. And other people said, no, it's anyone who hurts anybody else in any way. They're the worst of sinners. But there was one answer that was consistent among all the people who answered the poll. And they said the worst of the sinners are politicians. The most recent poll that I could find on that was dated about a year ago, and here were the results. It said that 31% of Americans dislike all politicians. 78% of Americans do not trust the government at all to do what is right. 78%. 80% believe that most politicians don't care what other people think. Also, that they are divisive and corrupt. Pretty bleak, isn't it? How long has this attitude been going on? A long, long time. Listen to the text from today's Psalm 58, which David wrote about 3,000 years ago. He said, "Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge the people with equity? No. In your heart, you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth." That's also pretty bleak. But he wasn't done. He said more. This is verse 3. "Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears and will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be." Wow, that's pretty harsh too, isn't it? But he's only just begun. What comes next, frankly, is shocking. Verse 6, "Break the teeth in their mouths, Lord. Lord, tear out the fangs of these lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw their bow, let their arrows fall short. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun." That's pretty raw language. And it is blatantly honest at the same time. Those are the words of a person who is in pain because they feel powerless to do anything about the grievances in the world and to be able to influence those who have power and authority to do anything, who seem to win all the time. Have you ever felt that way? Those are also the words of a person who sees political leaders not as someone with the power and the will and the desire to do good for other people, but to do good for themselves. Have you ever felt that way? You know what? I don't think anybody is ever going to make a worship song out of Psalm 58. Nor do I think we will ever read those words engraved on a stone and placed out on Capitol Hill like a monument. David did not sugarcoat the situation at all, and there are crowds of people cheering him on then and now. David did not sugarcoat any of it. Maybe you are one of those people cheering on this attitude. So let's be sure to acknowledge this. What was written here is also a description of all mankind since the fall, not just politicians. We are all prone to seek what is best for us rather than what is best for others. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not even one. Having acknowledged all that, let's get back to politicians for just a moment. Politicians are not all self-centered monsters. Some of them are godly men and godly women who serve this nation and others with integrity. Are they perfect? Never. Are they sinful? Always. But sadly, there are many politicians who just don't seem to know how to play fairly in the sandbox. That makes many citizens in this country angry. So they love David's outcry here. But notice this. When David said, "Break the teeth in their mouths and tear out the fangs of those lions," he was not advocating his personal attack on those politicians or anyone else. He was pleading to God for his help. What a difference. Do you think God's response was to David was, "Calm down, young man, calm down. Come back to me when you're not so angry." No, listen, God is more than willing to hear your anger, your grief, your frustration, not just about politics, but about anything in your life. And whenever you need to pour it out to him, he is willing to hear it. When you just can't hold it in any longer, talk to him. Our prayers to God do not always have to fit a Sunday school curriculum or a polished worship service setting. They can be from the gut. They can be real. You can pour out your heart to God because he wants to hear who you are and where you are. And Psalm 58 is proof of that. This is God-inspired truth and proof that he's willing to listen to you vent the way David did. God may not like our attitudes sometimes. He may not condone our motives sometimes, but he loves you enough to allow your rough edges to show. As I look around this room, we clean up pretty nicely. I don't see any rough edges, but they're there. They're there. And God knows they're there. He loves us anyway. He welcomes honesty. I'm reminded of a verse of a familiar hymn. "Blessed be the tie that binds." This is the verse. "Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent hearts, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comfort and our care." Now, thankfully, there is some comfort in Psalm 58 as well. Why? Because it points us to the fact that God indeed will eventually judge all of the corrupt politicians and everyone else, especially those who are truly evil like Hitler. It all begins in verse 9. But what in the world does verse 9 mean? Listen to this. "Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away." What? That's a very colorful metaphor. Pull it apart. Imagine a cooking pot over a fire. The fuel for the fire, however, is not wood. It's thorn. Dry thorns, when they're set on fire, tend to explode with fire. But David said it doesn't matter whether they're dry or wet, or green is the way he put it, because God's fire is powerful enough to get the job done. Now listen to that verse again. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. That is the picture that this verse paints. Now here is an application of that. The word pots can refer to the wicked. If so, it would read this way. Before the wicked can even feel the heat of the fire, they will be judged. That is the promise. That is the comforting part of this psalm. God himself is going to deal with the truly evil, wicked people in our lives. But there's more. The last two verses of this psalm say this. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged. When they dip their feet into the blood of the wicked, then people will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. Amen to that. And yes, there is some comfort in knowing that God will judge all those people that we might not like. But he will do it in the same way that he judges each and every one of us. Deuteronomy 1, judgment belongs to God. James 4, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? That's what we call a zinger in the scriptures. You know how they say you point the finger at somebody and got three fingers pointing back at you? That's how I feel right now. Who are we to judge others? Harry, who are you to judge others? Just think about this for a moment. What if you and I were to stand before God, and we will, at the final judgment, and heard a playback of every word we have ever uttered against politicians or political leaders or anyone else for that matter? Would we be happy or would we be embarrassed? Would we feel justified or would we feel mortified? Jesus said this in Luke 12. He said, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that may not be made known. There's another zinger. Who was it who said this? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Who said that? Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that colorful description that he used in that passage? Here's what he said. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? You hypocrite! Has anybody ever called you a hypocrite? I don't think anyone's ever done that to my face. I hope no one ever says that, and it's true. Jesus says it's true. You hypocrite. First, he said, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. Jesus made it very clear we just do not know how to behave sometimes, do we? Isn't this a fun sermon? Aren't you glad you came today? There are many, many other scriptures like this that highlight our bad behavior, and I was trying to think how to make it more personal and memorable for me and for you. And I came up with this. Chickens. In a yard full of chickens, there is a rigid society based on a pecking order. The top bird hangs on to the right to go around and strut and peck all of the others without any fear of retribution. And then the other chickens, who are learning from the best, start doing the same thing with all the other chickens in the barnyard, those of lesser rank. Peck, peck, peck. There is an interesting phenomenon, however, and that is that the chickens who fall at the bottom of the pecking order are more cruel than all the others. And that pretty well describes our propensity to be judgmental. We can't seem to control it. And it increases the further we get away from the top. Let's land this baby. Although David was sharing a disdain for corrupt political leaders in Psalm 58, he made it very clear that God is the judge of those political leaders and we are not. That's just one takeaway for today. Here's another one. David also demonstrated that whether we are right or wrong, God is willing to listen to us vent when we need to, regardless of the subject, so we can pray to God honestly. Hallelujah. You do not have to sanitize your soul to talk to our Heavenly Father. Good thing, eh? Psalm 58 also reminds us that evil is real, but God is more real. Whatever that means, just run with it. And all of that leads me to a wonderful passage in the book of Romans. This is in chapter 12, it's in verse 18, and these are words to live by. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now comes the zinger, the real challenge to you and me. This is verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And it concludes with this sentence, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And to that, all God's people said, let's pray. Father God, our world is messed up. You know that. We are messed up. It's messed up because of us, Lord. I thank you that you are patient with us, loving with us. I thank you that you let us share our mistakes as well as our victories. I thank you that you hear our prayers regardless. Lord, you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through Christ. We are Christ ones. We are Christians. Lord, use us to make a difference in this society in which we live and in the families that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to be your light where light is needed. I pray that in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.